All right, are you ready for a deep dive into some case law? This one's really interesting. It's called Glenn v. Brumby, and it really shook things up when it comes to transgender rights and employment law.
Oh yeah, this 11th Circuit decision. It's really a key case, especially for how courts understand gender identity and how it relates to sex discrimination. Definitely some aha moments in this one.
So, to set the stage, we're in Georgia back in 2005. Vandy Glenn gets hired as an editor by the Office of Legislative Counsel, and at this point she's presenting as male.
Okay, so then fast forward a couple years to 2007. Glenn tells her supervisor about her transition, and that's where Sewell Brumby, he's the head of the OLC, comes in.
And, well, I'm guessing Brumby's reaction wasn't exactly what you would call supportive.
Not exactly. I mean, just look at his words, the right there in the court documents. They became super important to the case, you know? He said Glenn's transition was inappropriate, unsettling, even unnatural. So, yeah, not exactly a progressive stance.
Wow, those comments seem pretty incriminating, to be honest. Didn't the court end up calling those direct evidence of discrimination? What does that even mean from a legal perspective?
Yeah, they pretty much were. I mean, legally speaking, direct evidence means you don't have to like connect the dots. Brumby basically admitted to a discriminatory motive, and that's pretty rare, you know, which really helps the plaintiff's case.
So Brumby fires Glenn. No surprise there, but Glenn was pretty legally savvy, and she files a lawsuit. And here's where it gets interesting. She claims both sex discrimination, which is under the Equal Protection Clause, and medical discrimination because of her gender identity disorder diagnosis, which was the diagnosis at the time.
Oh, yeah, that's really interesting. See, back in 2007, things were, you know, still developing legally when it came to transgender rights. So, using both of those arguments, it was a way to like cover more ground and test different legal theories.
Right. It's almost like she was saying, okay, even if you don't quite get transgender identities yet, you can't discriminate against me just because of my medical diagnosis.
Yeah, exactly. It's like she was trying to get the court to, you know, face the complexity of gender identity in this new way. Now, the district court, they ended up dismissing the medical discrimination part of the claim, but they sided with Glenn when it came to sex discrimination. And that's the part that really resonated with the 11th Circuit on appeal.
I'm thinking that because it was a government employer, it made the case even more impactful. What did that mean for Brumby when he was trying to defend himself?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you're dealing with the government, the Equal Protection Clause becomes super important. It means the government has a higher burden of proof when they try to justify doing something that treats people differently. And that's what we call heightened scrutiny.
So heightened scrutiny is kind of like the government have to jump through a bunch of extra hoops to justify what they did, like a legal obstacle course.
Exactly, like an obstacle course. So, the first obstacle they got to get over is proving there's a real, legitimate reason for their actions. In this case, Brumby tried to argue that, you know, he was worried about possible bathroom lawsuits and that Glenn's transition would cause problems in the workplace.
But the court didn't buy those arguments, right?
No, not at all. The court basically saw right through it. They said that his concerns, they were all just speculation based on like stereotypes and hypothetical feels, not actual evidence. And importantly, they saw his concerns as coming from bias, not a genuine need to protect the workplace. So he couldn't even get past that first hurdle in the obstacle course.
So Brumby tried to justify firing Glenn, but it really just blew up in his face.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It was his own words, and then he didn't have any real evidence for his concerns. Those two things really sealed his fate in the case.
This is a perfect example of how sometimes, the smallest details can have a massive impact on a legal case. Like every little thing, the words you use, the documents, it all can become key evidence. But what's really striking to me is how important this case was for how we understand transgender rights.
Absolutely. This wasn't just about one person's job. Glenn v. Brumby, it set a precedent for how courts should look at discrimination against transgender people in the workplace. And especially in the 11th Circuit, that impact reached way beyond just this one case.
So this is where we start to see those ripple effects you were talking about, right?
Exactly. Glenn v. Brumby was like setting the stage for future legal battles, and it helped to create a path for more big decisions in the fight for transgender equality.
All right, so we've covered quite a bit in this first part of our deep dive into Glenn v. Brumby. We've looked at who was involved, what the legal arguments were, and we've even started unpacking the larger implications of this decision.
Yeah, we have, but we're just getting started. In the next part, we're going to go even deeper into why Glenn v. Brumby is so significant. We'll see how it connects to some other really important cases and, you know, what questions it raises for the future of transgender rights.
I'm definitely looking forward to continuing this conversation. It's amazing to me how some cases that seem pretty straightforward can actually lead to huge shifts in how we think about justice and equality.
Welcome back. So, you know, as we were saying before, Glenn v. Brumby wasn't just about one person's employment. It really set the stage for a much wider conversation about legal protections for transgender folks.
And the kind of wild how specific cases, you know, can be like dominoes setting off this chain reaction that changes like the whole legal landscape.
Yeah, that's the whole idea of precedent, right? Each ruling builds on the ones before it, and you get these ripple effects that can lead to like really big changes in the law. And, you know, Glenn v. Brumby is a great example of that.
You mentioned before that the 11th Circuit really leaned on a previous landmark case, Price Waterhouse v. Hopkins, to support their decision in favor of Vandy Glenn. Can you remind me again what was so important about Price Waterhouse?
Oh, Price Waterhouse was big. I mean, it really tackled gender stereotyping in the workplace.
Yeah.
Basically, the Supreme Court said that if you discriminate against someone because they don't act the way you think a man or woman should act, that's sex discrimination, plain and simple.
So, like, if a company fires a woman for being, I don't know, too aggressive, or if they won't promote a man because he's too emotional, under Price Waterhouse, those could be seen as sex discrimination.
Exactly. And the cool thing about the Glenn v. Brumby ruling is that it took that idea from Price Waterhouse, that core principle, and applied it to what transgender people go through. Like, the court basically said discriminating against someone because they're transgender, that's discrimination because of their sex. And that completely changes the game in terms of legal protections.
So it's like they connected those harmful stereotypes directly to the experience of being transgender.
Totally. They recognize that transgender people, well, they challenge those rigid gender stereotypes that society tries to force on everyone. And the court said that, yeah, challenging those norms, that's protected by law.
Which makes Brumby's comments about Glenn's transition being inappropriate and unsettling, well, even more problematic.
For sure. Those words show how much bias he had. And that bias was influencing his decision. The court totally saw through it. It wasn't about protecting the workplace. It was about him being uncomfortable with someone who didn't fit in a box.
So Vandy Glenn won her case, but it's bigger than that, right? It was a win for anyone who has ever felt judged or discriminated against for not fitting society's expectations of gender.
Absolutely. This wasn't just a legal victory. It sparked all these conversations about gender identity and expression and helped people understand and accept these things a little better.
Okay, so Glenn v. Brumby had this huge impact on transgender rights, but how did it help other trans people fight back against discrimination?
Well, it created a roadmap. The ruling basically said that in the 11th Circuit, discriminating against someone because of their gender identity, that violates the Equal Protection Clause. So it gave transgender people this powerful legal tool to use when they face discrimination, not just at work, but in other areas of life too.
And as we talked about before, this case being about a government employer, that made it even bigger, right?
Yeah.
Because of that heightened scrutiny thing.
You got it. That heightened scrutiny means the government has to work a lot harder to justify what they do. Think of it like this. They need a really, really good excuse to treat someone differently based on something like gender identity. It's a protected characteristic.
And Brumby tried to use those arguments about, you know, bathroom lawsuits and workplace disruptions, but the court wasn't convinced.
Nope. The court was basically like, nah, not good enough.
Brumby didn't have any real evidence, just fears based on stereotypes. They wanted proof, not just worries. It sounds like Glenn v. Brumby set the bar pretty high. If you're a government employer and you want to discriminate against someone because they're transgender, well, you'd better have some rock-solid proof to back that up.
Exactly. It told government employers that they can't use those same old tired arguments or unfounded fears to justify discrimination. But Glenn v. Brumby did even more than that.
I bet you're going to tell me it impacted more than just cases about government entities.
You're good at this. So, while the exact legal rules might be different for private employers, those key ideas that came out of Glenn v. Brumby, they had a big impact on cases involving private companies, too.
Okay, so even if the legal details are a little different, the message is still clear. Discriminating against someone because they're transgender, that's sex discrimination, and it won't be tolerated, no matter who the employer is.
That's a great way to put it. And this is the thinking that led to another landmark case. Bostock v. Clayton County.
Ah, Bostock. That was a huge one, wasn't it?
Huge. The Supreme Court ruled that discrimination, because of someone's sexual orientation or gender identity, it's a form of sex discrimination under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act.
Wow, so Bostock took the ideas from Glenn and applied them to way more employees.
Exactly. Bostock was massive for LGBTQ plus rights. It meant that tons of employees, millions who work in the private sector, now have legal protections against discrimination based on their sexual orientation or gender identity. And, you know, it all goes back to the foundation laid by cases like Glenn v. Brumby.
It's really something to see how these cases build on each other and create like this whole movement of legal progress.
It really shows the power of how lawyers think and how dedicated people are to fighting for justice and equality. And it reminds us that the law is a living thing, you know? It changes and adapts to our understanding of what's right and wrong.
It's like each case is a brushstroke in this big, beautiful painting of legal progress.
I love that. And Glenn v. Brumby, it's a bold and bright brushstroke in that painting. It shows us that even cases that seem small, well, they can spark big changes and have a lasting impact on the fight for equality.
So where do we go from here? Where do you think these legal battles for transgender rights will go next?
That's a great question. Cases like Glenn v. Brumby and Bostock, they created a good legal base for protecting trans rights, but there's still a lot of work to do.
And we're back for the last part of our deep dive on Glenn v. Brumby. We've gone over the details of the case, the legal stuff, and how this decision, you know, really opened the door for more protections for transgender people. But like with most complex issues, there's always more to explore.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one of the most interesting things about Glenn v. Brumby is how the court dealt with those two separate claims. Remember, there was the sex discrimination claim and then the medical discrimination claim, which was based on Glenn's gender identity disorder diagnosis at the time.
Right. And in the end, the court only ruled on the sex discrimination claim. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there was some real strategy there. By just focusing on the sex discrimination argument, they kind of sidestepped that whole thing about medicalizing transgender identities, which back in 2007, that was pretty forward thinking.
It's interesting to think about it in the context of the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back then, there wasn't as much awareness about transgender issues.
Exactly. Back then, a lot of people still saw being transgender as a medical issue. And there wasn't that understanding of gender identity as something separate from a diagnosis. So by focusing on sex discrimination, the court was basically saying, look, you don't have to completely understand everything about gender identity to know that discriminating against someone just because they're transgender is wrong.
So it's like they were saying that trans people deserve basic dignity and respect, even if people didn't fully get the whole concept of gender identity.
Exactly. And that was a big shift in perspective. It helped move the conversation away from the medical stuff and toward equality and human rights.
But wouldn't that approach also, like, raise questions about potential gaps in legal protection? I mean, if courts are moving away from seeing transgender identity as a medical issue, what does that mean for things like disability rights?
That's a really good point, and people are still talking about it. Some folks think that trans people should be able to access disability rights protections. They argue that trans people face unique challenges and barriers because of their gender identity. But then others worry that if we only think about trans identity through a medical lens, it just reinforces those harmful stereotypes and might even lead to people being forced into medical treatments they don't want.
It sounds like both sides have valid concerns.
They do. And it shows us that we need to keep talking about this and be really thoughtful about the consequences of different legal approaches. We got to make sure trans people have the support and protection they need, but we can't do it in a way that, you know, reinforces bad stereotypes or takes away their right to make their own choices.
It's a reminder that even though the law can be this powerful tool for change, it's not always perfect.
Mm.
And sometimes there are these like tricky gray areas that we really need to think carefully about.
Totally agree. And cases like Glenn v. Brumby, they show us how important it is to keep pushing for change. You know, we need smart legal arguments and people who are willing to challenge the way things are. It's a constant process of figuring out what justice and equality really mean.
So to wrap up our deep dive into Glenn v. Brumby, what do you think are the most important things we can learn from this case?
For me, there are three big takeaways. First, it made it super clear that discrimination based on gender stereotypes, that's a type of sex discrimination. That's huge, not only for protecting trans people, but for anyone who doesn't fit those narrow gender boxes.
Yeah, that point about gender stereotypes really hits home.
Mm.
We all should be able to express our gender in a way that feels right for us without being punished for it.
Absolutely. The second takeaway is that even subtle discrimination, like using language that's based on stereotypes or saying that you're uncomfortable with someone, well, that can have real legal consequences.
It's a good reminder that words have power, and that even when we don't mean to, our biases can make life harder for trans people.
Exactly. And the last takeaway, Glenn v. Brumby, shows us that we need strong laws that protect the rights and dignity of all people, no matter their gender identity or how they express it.
It's like a call to action, right? We can't stop here. We need to keep fighting for laws and policies that guarantee equality and justice for everyone, including trans folks.
I'm with you on that. That means challenging discriminatory laws, educating people about transgender issues, and making sure that everything in our society is inclusive.
Well, I think we've really explored this case thoroughly today. We talked about all the ins and outs of Glenn v. Brumby, its impact on transgender rights, and the challenges that still exist in the fight for equality.
It's been a fascinating journey through legal history, and I hope it's inspired everyone listening to learn more.
And as always, we encourage you to keep this conversation going. Go read those court opinions, really dig into the legal arguments, and think about how cases like this one are changing things for trans rights.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Keep those legal minds sharp.